Welcome to the Inner Peace and Other Cool Shit podcast, the show that helps you find freedom from anxiety, overthinking, worry, and stress. I'm Siobhan Friel, a fellow human being, transformational coach, and your new friend. Come and hang out with me as we explore a whole new understanding of the human experience so you can enjoy life with more peace and ease. Welcome back to Inner Peace and Other Cool Shit. Today, I'm sharing a conversation that I had with Lindsay Elliott. Lindsay is a certified coach specializing in anxiety, stress, and overwhelm. And she's also a well-being consultant who's partnered with private companies, local council, and the NHS in the UK. I loved this conversation so much. Lindsay is so warm and wise and witty. Love the alliteration there. We talked about a bunch of cool things, including Lindsay's past and how she used to, quote, self-help the shit out of herself before coming to the understanding of how humans work, which is at the heart of what we both do now. We talk about the major insights and realizations that Lindsay had about thought and its nature and feelings and how they work and how seeing this transformed Lindsay's experience of anxiety and stress. Lindsay goes into specific detail about how we can all see this for ourselves to experience more freedom and peace of mind. We also talked about health anxiety, what it means to get lost, not needing to be happy, as well as other amazing topics. And Lindsay answers a listener question about procrastination, which was brilliant. Lindsay has an amazing YouTube channel packed with loads of wisdom-filled and helpful videos, so I encourage you to check that out. Okay, enjoy this conversation between me and Lindsay Elliott. Hello, Lindsay. Welcome to the Inner Peace and Other Cool Shit podcast. I am so happy to have you here with me today.
Hello, Siobhan. I am delighted to be here too.
Yay. Can you please say hello to the listeners and just tell us what you're currently up to in the world?
Hello, listeners. I am Lindsay Elliott and I run Lindsay Elliott Coaching. So I live in Brighton. But I do all of my work online now. And I do one-to-one coaching programs. I also have a group program going to be coming up in the next maybe couple of months. I don't know. And I record little videos every week. I do a little bit of videoing on social media. And I just really support people with change in a different way. So like change from a different perspective, from the understanding that you talk about, you know, and I kind of think I specialize. I'm always a little bit hesitant to say that, but it's like anxiety, habits and addictions, self-esteem and relationships. They feel like they're my bag.
Nice. Oh, nice. I love that. And yeah, just as a personal note, I absolutely love your videos. Lindsay's got a ton of cool videos and on her website and YouTube as well, which I just find are so really like relatable and digestible, like short enough that you're not overwhelmed when you see it goes on for ages, which is what I do when I see a long video. I'm like, but meaningful, and I really get a lot out of them. So thank you for making all of them. So I've stalked you suitably as one of my esteemed colleagues in this area, and you've spoken a few times about your past and maybe feeling that you were insecure and anxious in life. And I think at once that you felt that you had like a need to fix yourself. So I loved that you said just before, like part of what you love to do now is working with people with anxiety and other related human conditions. So can you tell us, what was life like for you back then when you were feeling sort of insecure and anxious, or however you would describe that? And then what changed, and then how is life different now for you?
So I think I don't know. It's one of those things, isn't it, where you think, I think if people looked at me back then, they probably wouldn't have known. So because I didn't have any like overt like anxiety disorder, say, let's say I was never diagnosed with like a generalized anxiety disorder, or I didn't have a, you know, kind of an eating disorder or something. I didn't have something labelable that people would have said, oh, well, she's got that issue, you know, da 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 da. But that's probably because I hid it quite well behind quite a, you know, a bubbly personality. And certainly when I'd had a drink as well, I was always, you know, life of the party. So I think there was a lot of hiding what was going on. Not in a kind of, not in a, I want to be secretive and a purposeful kind of way, but just in a, it's swimming around in here. To be honest, I think I was probably almost a bit blind to it. You know how you're just kind of like, I just thought it was me. I just thought, oh, I'm just a bit insecure. I used to worry. So when I was kind of thinking recently about my anxiety stuff, I was like, it started off with being a very worried child that my parents were going to die. And all that they were going to, this one makes them laugh, all that they were going to go out and leave me and my brother while they went to the pub. And I have to just clarify, my parents were amazing parents, okay? We are still so close. I'm still lucky they're both alive. And, you know, but my worry was they're going to go down the pub. And mum was just like, why did you ever think that? But so I had this worried little mind quite young, which fixated on death and them leaving me, which I think is, you know, lots of kids kind of go through that. But then it kind of morphed into, I mustn't upset people. I mustn't hurt people's feelings. And I worried about that. And then I worried about not being good enough. And then it sort of morphed into sort of health anxiety once I became a mum. So it's just, it's kind of like, it's been like a little river that's sort of run through that I don't think it's ever really bubbled up to the surface enough for probably many people to notice. And certainly I did my best to not let it kind of take over. But I did, you know, I think I did believe that there was something wrong that needed fixing, that this was my personality, that I was kind of stuck with it unless I self-helped. Am I allowed to swear on here?
Yeah.
I thought I would be, but I just thought I'd better clarify. Unless I self-helped the shit out of myself, then... And that's a path I went down for quite a number of years. And to a degree, it helped a bit. You know, it's a familiar story, isn't it? It helped a bit. But there was a few things about it. Was it didn't seem to help for a long time, like, or in a kind of quite permanent way. There was a lot of work in it. And I still had that sort of underlying sense of, oh, it's just, there's something not quite right with me here. I'm just, you know, it was just, it was almost like something I just sort of dragged around with me a bit while kind of presenting a bit of a bubbly, not bubbly, I'm not, because I'm not that kind of bubbly, but, you know, an exterior, a face, if you like. And so, yeah, and so some things were really helpful. But there was always something missing, I felt. And then when I came across the understanding that you share, it took a while. I'm not saying it's just like, oh, angels. Oh. It was just, it took a while as I started to understand. And really for me, one of the most massive things was understanding thought. Because once I really got two things, I think, and it isn't all about thought, because thought is just, but I feel thought is the piece of the puzzle to understand so that you can get to all of the kind of juicy kind of spiritual stuff that I loved, you know, and all of the kind of who we are and how amazing we are. But well, for me, and really understood thought, that always stood in my way, because as long as the thought about who I was looked real and that it needed fixing, then that's where my mind went. That's what I focused on. And when so that was the big thing to realize, was, oh, the thing I'm trying to fix is not who I am. Amazing. That's life transforming, you know. And the other thing was to know that because I kind of dabbled in this understanding I actually threw myself in like a nutter, you know, kind of like every podcast, every training, one-to-one coaching, everything, you know, just because that's my, I love learning. And also that was a bit of my, you know, like gotta fix it, gotta feel peaceful, can't carry this crap around with me anymore. And yes, sounding familiar. But when I finally realized that 100% of the time, and there was no exception, I was only ever feeling my own thinking or the energy of thought, that was like it lifted so much off of me. Do I still get caught up in it? Of course I do, because we're human beings, right? But also the brilliant thing is we don't have to, like, and that was the, well, I'm getting all excited now about how exciting it is.
It is exciting.
It's exciting, isn't it? Because it's like when you reflect back what you used to carry around with you, and then you don't have to do that anymore. And the other most amazing thing was just not really understanding emotions, and that I don't have to fix them. I just have to feel them, and that they're totally safe. They don't mean anything about me. They're not saying, "Ooh, you're an anxious person. Ooh, you're a shameful person. Ooh, you're a this person." It's an experience passing through you, and just knowing that took off the table that I have to be happy. And it's really weird. It's the paradox, isn't it? To be happy, you have to not be happy. You have to be okay with, like, genuinely being okay with, okay, I'm not going to, as soon as I've had the insight, oh, I don't have to be happy all the time. Oh, okay then. Okay, great. Great. And it just took a load of work off of it, because all of the scrabbling around and scribbling around and trying to change myself was so that I could feel happy. And when I realized that happy is just a passing momentary experience, and there's something so much deeper underneath that that's just there all the time, then that's like, oh, hey ho, okay. So it's quite different now. Well, it's hugely different now. There's like a safety and a security there that just wasn't ever there, because I thought it was outside of me. Oh, that sounds really naff, doesn't it? It sounds really like naff, spiritual naff. But it's true, you know. It is like there really is a place within us that we can just 100% rely on, that's just okay. It really is okay. And we're not going to feel it all the time, and that's okay too.
Oh, I love so much of what you're saying, but I particularly just wanted to pick up on when you said then about it sounding naff, right? Mm. Because yes, and that's what I see as my job in the world, is to connect with the people that think it's naff. Yeah. Like, no, hang on though. Hang on a minute. This isn't walking along the beach barefoot, like wearing hemp trousers. This is a thing. So come and over here and take a look, and you can keep your punk music, and you can keep your driving fast, and you can keep all that stuff. But come over here and let's look at what's always true and what's beyond, and let's not maybe get tied up with what our conceptions are with what is a spiritual conversation and what are spiritual terms. I love that you pointed that out, because I'm like, I get that and resonate with that, and it's so helpful to hear other people talk about it. I in my head I call them civilians, like you and I, like we're not new age hippies, and even then I'm using the wrong language, because I'm making it out like there is a separate group. I think you get what I mean. Well, thank you.
Yeah.
Okay. So on that, you mentioned that the missing piece for you was thought, and that understanding thought. And I love that you use the word understand. Can you tell us a bit more about what you mean by that? What is there to understand about thought, and why is it so darn helpful?
Well, there's a few really key pieces, I think. One of them is that, where am I going to start with this? Okay, so the first kind of what I think is like the most dense kind of like human bit of it is there is a voice in your head, there is a chatterer in your head, there is a non-stop fucking toddler that just wants to talk to you all the time through thought that isn't who you are. Now, it sounds like it is you because it talks in your voice, it's in your head. Even though it's not in your head, when you really look at it, it's just kind of feels like it's sort of in your whole energy. You know what I mean? But it's like people think it's in their head. And because it has opinions and it tells you what to do, tells you what not to do. So there's this constant little, like that's kind of like the most dense sort of human bit of it, I think. So for me, understanding that that chattery voice wasn't me, isn't my personality. I don't even like personality, but I'm not even, you know, really sure what that is, but that isn't me. And I don't have to fix that. I don't have to pay attention to it. I don't have to engage with it. I just need to let it be there. And sometimes I can't. Sometimes we're just totally and utterly absorbed in the chatter. And that's when we get lost in it. So there's that bit about thought was really key. Understanding that voice is not me. And it's totally habitual. And that's the bit where, like, you know, I read a statistic that apparently 95% of what we thought yesterday we'll think today. Yeah, I know. It's terrifying. So that's the, and I can't remember where I read that statistic. I remember at the time, because I wrote a blog about it, I think it was somewhere fairly reputable. And I don't quite know how they measured it. But anyway, and to be fair, it actually feels quite true. Like when you feel into it, that feel, then, because that's where the chatter, that to me, that's the chatterer. And that's why thought is so habitual and so addictive, because it's this familiar chatterer. So there's that. And then when I understood that it was an energy that just flows all the time, that I've got no control over, and I know there's some controversy out there. Can we control our thoughts?
Yeah. You can if you buy my program.
Exactly. If you want to work
with your brain,
if you want to work super, super hard, if you want to be really exhausted, you can. So, and you know, and I can't look, and I can't, I think that's one of those questions that no human being is ever going to 100% be able to answer. To me, that remains in the mystical, right? But my best guess is, in my own experience, I ain't got no control over that. It comes and it goes, and I've got no control over it. Because if I had control over it, I would radically have chosen a very different narrative in my head. I really would. I wouldn't be choosing it. So just seeing that there is, but also that it is the creative potential. Like we can't, I don't want to make it sound really negative because it isn't. It's also the most amazing, beautiful thing that gives us the ability to not be, well, I don't want to say a tree because who knows what the true consciousness of trees is, but it's not, I'm not a mug in this. So that's a really bad use if you're English. You know that. That has another connotation to it. Right, I'm going to try again now. I'm not okay. A pen. I'm not okay. A pen. I get to experience life because I have thought. So it's a beautiful, amazing thing when we understand it. Because again, even though it's flowing and it's bringing feeling with it and it's flowing all the time and our creative ideas come through it and it's amazing, it still isn't who we are. Still not who we are, but it's an amazing capacity. And when people say to me, like, I just want to shut my mind up, I'm like, no, you don't, because you'll be dead. You just need sometimes I don't say it that harshly. You just need a different relationship to it.
Yeah,
so I think those are the most jump out ways that understanding thought was really, because but before, when I believed that the insecurity, the guilt, the whatever else was going on, and I believed that was me, then that did look like it needed to be fixed, and I worked really hard at it, and it got me some way but not all the way.
I absolutely love so much what you're saying, and I feel like you're saying it in a really fresh way. Like it's really landing for me as well, even though this is my work. I'm like, oh yeah, And yes, and just the power of understanding thought, just like you said it in those words, understanding thought, not trying to change it or manage it or control it in any way. Just so transformative for people to see. I absolutely love that so much. Now, in saying that, I love to poke my guests a bit to speak to Siobhan from 5 years ago, because as I told you a bit when we were saying hello, bloody hell, she was not interested in this, because she wanted science and peer-reviewed studies which say, hey, if you do these 10 practices every day, you're going to be happy and successful and loved and able to get on with your tasks without crying into a bottle of wine by 11:30. So she would be listening to what you're saying. She would hear something. She would hear something, which is what kept me in this conversation. She would hear something and it would, and she would dismiss it because it sounds nice, right? Which is so funny, because kind of say like, hey, that's the direction to go, but because it sounds nice, she's like, oh well, it must not be true, because life should be hard and things should be hard and complex. Guys, do not be like past Siobhan. So what she would probably want to ask you is, okay Lindsay, cool, this voice in my head saying that I'm worthless and that I'm never gonna make anything of myself and that no one loves me and that I don't fit in and all of those things. You're saying that that's not me, that's just this ephemeral moving thought and part of the human experience. But it's true for me though, like maybe for other people it might not be them, but for me it's true. Like it's true that I'm worthless, it's true that no one loves me, it's true that I can't get on with my work, it's true that I don't fit in with everyone. So how would you start to help Pa Siobhan see, and everyone listening, see past that, like where people are holding this so tightly? And hey, I get it, because it looks to me like society is kind of innocently set up to promote the importance of thought as a identifier of us. Like, use the word personality before. Like, yes, there is a personality and it's made of the things you think. So no wonder that we hold this so tightly as part of our identity. And when we're experiencing these thoughts, and like you say, every day, how can we maybe push past that little bit where it really looks true though to people?
Well, I think one place I like to point people, or try to point people, and if I had passed Siobhan here, I would try to dig around a bit to get her to give me an example. Because I think that even people who believe that their experience of something, say of being depressed or say of being worthless, feel like it is 100% of the time and constant, when you can poke around a bit in that, you can always find a moment, even if it is momentary, a momentary blip in the system where they're either not thinking about it, or where does it go when you're watching a film and you're totally engaged in it? Or where does it go when suddenly you're doing something that you do enjoy? Where does worthless Siobhan go then? So I like to try to point out places when it disappears and where does it go to, because my sense of what everything I've learned, and when I look in my own experience, is that who we are underneath all of that is much more constant than the stuff that's changing. So there is an awareness that can look out, and it's much more constant than the thing that's being battered about by the, so I kind of like to think of it as like, you know, like the tree. So really we're the trunk, but the leaves and the branches that get totally battered about the whole time, that's the bit that we're identifying with, the thoughts and the feelings. So just seeing if you can get even a momentary chink in the armor, and sometimes people have to go and look at that. So like in between coaching sessions, I might say, well, look at this, and then go and look and just see if you can. And if you can come back to me and say, no, 100% of the time, Lindsay, I was this, then okay, we'll look again, you know, or maybe I'm wrong. But invariably that doesn't happen. Mm. And then I also, what was so helpful for me, in fact, was one of my major insights of, you know, where I just realized, oh, it is true what they're talking about, even though I was just like you, like past Siobhan and past Lindsay was like, no, it isn't this simple. This cannot be true. It can't be that this isn't who I am. Don't be ridiculous. There can't be nothing to fix. I'm not totally well. I don't have innate well-being and innate health, and I'm not okay. That's utter rubbish. Okay, so that, you know, so that person. But when I really looked and when I saw that my mind talked to me in absolute polar opposites, utter polar opposites. Mm. You are a great mum. You are a crap mum. You are great at your job. You've got the shittest business. You're a brilliant wife. You are a crap wife. When I saw that, I was like, oh, okay. How can those both be true then? And so that really helped me to see what everyone was trying to point me to was that it wasn't true about me either, that it was coming from this momentary flowing experience that we call thought. And that was the movie that was playing. But there is someone who's watching the movie. There's an energy that's watching the movie. And what if we're actually the energy that's watching the movie? So I think if Siobhan could look in her experience, she would have seen, oh, there are moments when I don't carry this I'm worthless belief around with me. I don't experience it. I don't notice it. And there may be times when her mind says, oh, you did really well there. Oh, well done. Maybe not often, but because that's how minds talk to us in black and white, that she could have well had that experience.
Yeah. I love what you're saying here. And Pa Siobhan is very thankful as well. What comes to mind, because I resonate so much with what you're saying in regards to finding like a blip or like a lapse in this continuous thought of who we are, like let's say the worthlessness piece. Because, and in looking back now, and I see this when I'm talking to clients as well, that we see even more after the fact, like when we look retrospectively, I can see a ton, right, where I didn't feel that way. And it looks to me that humans generally, mistakenly and innocently, we pay attention to the negative feelings because they feel bad, and we dismiss the positive ones as a fluke or a lack of vigilance for our problems, right? And the kind of thing we do is invert that, so that it's like, oh no, like we want to be looking to where we are feeling like a calmness or a lightness or even just a neutrality. Which brings me on to something that you've said a couple of times with real eloquence and simplicity, which I've loved, which was about our feelings, like what our feelings are and what they're for. And you've said, and I'm paraphrasing you, but they're telling you like where your mind is at, like where your thinking is at, the quality, I guess, of your thinking. Can you tell us a bit more about what you mean by that? Like, what are our feelings? What are they telling us? And so what? Like, why? What are the implications of seeing that?
Yeah, well, I think I spent 30-odd years of my life believing that how I felt came from things outside of me. So if someone said something to me that I didn't like and I felt something, I thought that was coming because they'd said it, or that I felt a certain way because of the circumstances that I found myself in, because of either the job I had or the relationship I was in or the where I lived or all of that stuff. And if we believe that how we are feeling is coming from our circumstances, then we are utterly at the mercy of them all the time. And we have to scrabble around and try to control life, which is fucking impossible. And we have to hold on to our circumstances with the tightest grip and try to make sure that we don't upset anybody or nobody leaves us or nothing terrible happens so that we can feel okay. Now, if the amazing intelligence, I like to call it God, but it doesn't have to be that word. It can be anything, nature, that created this design, that would seem a touch flawed to me. That if we were at the mercy of our circumstances, like we're amazing machines, we are superbly built, superbly, like there is just, it's superb, our design, it's breathtaking when you really understand it. It's so beautiful. And it would be flawed if things that happened to us made us feel a certain way, because we would have no power, we would have no say, no nothing in the situation, but that, because it isn't working that way, because it's our thought stream, thought energy comes in, it brings us a perception of what has happened to us. And because that's always going to change, and invariably it gets lighter, like it's quite often, you don't often see something get heavier. It might go up and down, but invariably it gets a bit lighter. So like when I got divorced, it was like snot and tears, awful, terrible, terrible, terrible. And it just got lighter and lighter and lighter. All the way, because thought changes and invariably you get a higher perspective or a different perspective or healing happens, you know, all of that kind of stuff. So our emotions are therefore there to wake us up, not to the fact of what's happened to us in life, but to wake us up to, okay, I'm up in my head, or I'm believing a story that isn't true here, and it's desperately trying to wake you up to that. I'm believing something about myself that isn't true. I'm believing something about life that isn't true. And it's like the body mind is trying to wake you up the whole time, just going, wake up, wake up. You're in your head. You are not in life. And so that's what emotions are for. And when we deeply know that, that means we can feel anything. And that's really the point, because emotional freedom is not only having certain emotions, it's being able to feel it all. And who doesn't want that really? I know people kind of say, I just want to feel happy, but really we know challenging things are going to happen. And I'm not saying challenging things don't happen. I'm not trying to gloss over that stuff. I've experienced some challenging stuff in my life, as I know you have, as every single bloody human being has. But that doesn't take away from the fact of still how it's working. And actually it's working in our favor. This is what, like when people get really angry, and I did as well, I'm sure you did. What do you mean it's not my circumstances? But don't try and tell me that my shitty job is not making me feel shitty. Bugger off with that. And you're like, truly the truth is much more freeing. You are experiencing some shitty thinking about that job. That job is neutral. And if you can see something different or look in a different direction or know how it's going, it'll change. And you'll have a whole new job, or you'll just choose to leave. You know, so there's actually huge, huge liberation in understanding it.
Oh, wow. That is incredible, isn't it? Like how lucky are we that we get this, you know, infinite creative intelligence, creative energy of thought. And then we get this like built-in safety valve that's like, hey, kind of like stuck up in there, believing these thoughts which are running through your mind, thinking they're reality, but actually they're not true. And we get this completely built in, totally free, always working to let us know when we are caught up in what you refer to as a story, which I agree and love. Like what? I mean, I love these conversations with people, because when I'm having them, it just feels so incredibly freeing. And clear and simple and lovely. And so I really appreciate the way that you describe that. And as you've already said yourself, and that I think often, then we'll fall back into that and come back again and in and out. And so I would love for people to even explore that what you're describing here is how it works, because how cool would that be? Now, you don't need to believe Lindsay. She's very lovely and trustworthy, but you don't trust her just off the bat. Go and take a look for yourself.
Yeah.
Wouldn't that be really awesome? And you are still a human. And you mentioned something before, actually, about like you still get caught up, and me too. Like yesterday, I was telling you before saying hello about my washing machine leaking, and that it was going to be the end of like the property was going to fall down or something, whatever. So can you tell us all, when was the last time that you were caught up in your humanness, and what was kind of going on there?
Today.
Yes, I just love it when people always answer something really recent, because this is what happens.
Yeah, totally. I mean, it's something. Because I kind of mentioned a little bit about how, about my anxiety kind of moving its topic, my lovely anxious mind, moving its topic into health anxiety. And that's something that I am, like there's certain things in life that I think we sometimes just get really fully resolved over. Like I used to smoke, and I have maybe one smoking thought every few years now. You know, and that kind of feels very resolved to me, that that doesn't really show. And when it does, I'm like, oh, that's weird. How did that show up? But with the health anxiety, that's something that isn't fully, it's not even that it needs to be resolved, but it shows up for me. So my husband has had COVID this week. My son's now got a cold. And this is a place that my mind still really loves to go to. Loves to talk to me about them being ill, about me being ill, about my capacity to look after. It just goes off on it. It picks it up and it bloody loves it. And, you know, and it happened at Christmas. It went off on one again about my health at Christmas. But what I'm noticing is every time it happens, it's having a different, there's a different flavor to it. It's like, and not as in a different topic, it's like as in it's loosening all the time. So now this, like at Christmas, I got quite gripped with it. This week, I've had more of an experience of, oh, there you are. And I just have to let it bubble there. I can't get rid of it. I can't do it. I don't know what I want to, but I just have to bob about in my day with it just chatting overdrive. And I feel all the feelings, and I feel that, oh, right, if I do get ill and I can't record the podcast and I can't see my clients and I can't look after my child, and you know, and just let all of that be there, knowing, and this is where the 100% bit is so helpful. It's so helpful, because if I really believed that there was something to worry about with our health, then I would be spinning off into a little bit of mentalness. But, and I don't mean that in a bad way. I mean that is in my own little, like I go into in a crazy world, but truly, it's just that it's more like chatter. And I know that the next time it comes up, it'll be quieter chatter, because I know it's not, even if I get lost in stuff, the thing that, even if I can't see it, sometimes my inner self will just remind me and go, it's okay, you know, it's thought, you just can't see it right now. It's looking much more real than that. It's looking much more important than that. I don't feel that. I don't know how it's thought yet. I don't, but I know it is. And I kind of, that's one of the things that kind of holds me, you know, it's like a little comforting sort of rock that I sort of, it's okay, I know it's thought, even if I can't see it, and I just let myself feel it. So also giving up, that's part of the giving up the quest for happiness. Because I think when you're in this sort of conversation, it can also be really, and particularly when you coach in this area, you can have a lot of conversation in your head about, oh, I need to be much more, you know, kind of not feeling all these emotions. I need to be much less human is really what you're kind of saying to yourself. I need to be some kind of godlike figure. And it's just rubbish. And it also doesn't help you. Like, it really helps me be able to communicate with my clients and support my clients when I have literally just been through it. But I've been through it in a slightly different way to them, just slightly different relationship to it. So it ain't ever going to stop either. I really don't think it is, unless one of us has a full-blown enlightenment experience, and we are, I just think it's always, this is going to be how it's going to be, and that's all good. And we will continue to see it more and more and more and more. But it's also, it's totally okay to get lost. We're supposed to. We are designed to. We're supposed to.
Yeah, I love that. And seeing that, yeah, we're supposed to. Mm. We're supposed to get lost. That's how it goes. Oh, what a relief. Yeah, I love that. Now, I want to play devil's advocate a bit here, and say, because I think people listening will be like, but Lindsay, what if you do get ill and you aren't able to see your clients or take care of your family because you're ill? Then what?
I will work it out when I get there. There's something will occur to me to put in place. And obviously, of course, if I can't see clients or record a podcast, it is not the end of the world. People understand, I'm not a brain surgeon. I'm not doing life or death. And even if you are, stuff gets worked out. And I also know that something would occur to me to get my son looked after. Like if that was really, like during COVID, when there was the possibility that, because he's an only child, doesn't have any brothers or sisters. So like it's the three of us, and it's like the possibility that, oh, what about if me and dad get ill? His dad, well, we would have worked it out. Because that's the other really beautiful part of this, of our human design, is that we've got real time, like we can work it out in the moment. And haven't you noticed so much in your own life how you think you're going to handle something, and then what actually occurs to you to do it when you're in it? Two utterly different things, because one is coming from a mental preparation of what would I do then? And it's limited. It's only looking at what's on the hard drive of the computer. Whereas when you're in real time in a challenging situation, you're plugged into the internet. You've got all of Google search on your back that's just going to drop something in and say, do that. And I've seen that over and over and over again, that the answers don't come from the internet. They come from somewhere so much more reliable. They come from that different space in us.
I can feel myself getting I'm reacting quite emotionally to what you're saying, because yes, and I suspected you would say something like that, because this is how it works, people. Like, not only have we got creative, incredible, infinite creativity in thought, like we said, and then the safety valve of feelings when that's innocently being related to, when it doesn't need to be. But then we've got this real-time responsive wisdom and problem solving and resilience in the moment. Like you mentioned something before, which I thought was a beautiful word, which was our breathtaking design. And so that's how I'm reacting now. I'm like hearing it from you. Fuck. That is awesome. And I've seen when a bad thing happens, we are taken care of in a way which we cannot predict ahead of time. Like for me, and I work a lot with people with anxiety too, a big thing is, but it might happen. So it's, well, maybe seeing that something is thought in the moment, but seeing that it could still happen. Mm. Has been maybe a stumbling block for people. But when we look at what happens when it does happen, and that we have this responsiveness, which simply cannot be predicted, it's incredible. Like when we're planning for catastrophes ahead of time, like when I was planning, well, what am I going to do when the house foundation is withered away by the broken washing machine or whatever I was thinking yesterday, which was like, so I was like, well, where will I live and what bit should I pack up first and all of this stuff, right? Firstly, it was ridiculous, and I see that now later, because thoughts and feelings change, right? And also, if anything did happen to the house foundation, then something would occur to me. And I love that, and I've seen that a billion times in various situations of different intensity, shall we say, or severity, according to what that means to Siobhan. So thank you so much for how you described that in regards to the health stuff, because that's something I think that we can definitely all relate to, particularly when it comes to responsibilities, like we'll work and family. So I love that. And you made me cry a little bit just with seeing that gratitude. I love to cry at 8:30 in the morning. In saying that, maybe actually because you made me cry, Lindsay, I think that you should help me out on the podcast by answering a question.
Okay.
So the question is, I've been following various teachers or guides in your field for a number of years, but I'm still procrastinating. I can see that I make up what procrastinating even is, and I can see how my thoughts on this and what it means come and go. But it remains that I often leave things to the last minute or too late, meaning I am rushed and stressed. What am I missing? So, Lindsay, you said earlier in our conversation that seeing and understanding thought is not often an instant thing and it can take a while. So we don't expect you to completely unlock this person's supposed dilemma in a few minutes. But what comes to mind with someone that's describing this kind of thing?
Yeah, so I think the making up what procrastinating even is, I wonder if, so what I would, because some of your listeners might not even kind of have thought about what that might mean. And obviously, I don't know what it means for this person, but it might be helpful just to clarify what we think could be going on there, which is that there's a flow to life that things get done. And then there is a mind, an intellectual mind, that only wants to talk about survival and you in an incredibly personal way. And what this person, I think, means about is making up that the timing of when things should be done. So a mind is only a mind that's going to make up, I have to get that done by then. And if I don't get that done by then, this is what it means about me as a human being. So it sounds as if this person has seen through some of that, that there is a flow and things just seem to get done. And then there's a mind that can talk about that over the top of it, which is what happens to me all the time. What I wonder is, there's a couple of things that jump out at me, three things really, I think, that jump out at me. Is this person seeing that, meaning that I am rushed, I am stressed? I don't think that is looking like thought. I think that is looking like that's coming from the procrastinating. But if you can really, I think if this person can really wheedle into that, they will see that the rushed and the stressed is because they will have some kind of thought that has the flavour of, oh, I've left it at the last minute again, or I should have done this, or I can't believe I was, and now I'm late, and da, da, da. And that is where the feeling of the rushed and the stressed is coming from, not from the fact that there is an arbitrary time. And sometimes you do have to leave the house on time. I get that. I've got a son I have to pick up from school. If I'm late, that's unpleasant for him, okay? You know, but it's seeing that the procrastinating is thought, but also the stressed and the rushed is also thought created. So that's a little piece for this person and anyone else to have a look at. And with procrastinating, there's two things that I have noticed in my experience. Is one, okay, let's talk first about that rushed, stressed energy that procrastinating can create. I think there's something quite addictive about that energy. And if you are used to being someone who moves fast on the go, that actually the thought of just doing things as they occur to you in a calm paced way, there's something in your nervous system that's going to go, no, don't like that. Don't like that. That's not familiar. Let's get a little bit procrastinating so that we are still rushing a little bit. Because that's quite addictive when your nervous system has been used to being revved in that way. Now, I'm not a neurologist. This is just me as a human, what I've noticed in my own experience. So there's that to see. And then there's invariably some kind of belief behind a procrastination. Like why, like if it's the small things, like I noticed that I procrastinate about cleaning out my guinea pigs. because my mind says it's fucking boring. It's boring. It's the same stuff every day. So that is a belief behind a small thing. And when I actually am in the moment of cleaning out the guinea pigs, if I'm not listening to the thought that says this is boring, it's just, it's cleaning out the guinea pigs. And actually I enjoy looking at them. So there's that can be those small beliefs, but then sometimes people procrastinate about big things. And often there's some belief that is being believed there about fear or failure or success. So if this person wants to kind of, can sort of look one step back from the procrastination to see, is there a belief here about me or about life that means I'm thinking procrastinating is preferable? Because sometimes it's preferable to feel the procrastination over the, oh, I might fucking fail at this. I might be really shit at this. So let's not try. Like, that's sometimes preferable to be a procrastinator over a failure. So you, that's a few, couple of places they might want to have a little look.
I get quite a lot of questions with a procrastination flavor or a something around productivity and that kind of thing. And I always enjoy asking other people because I get a lot out of it as well. Because when I first read the question, when it first came in, I was like, me too. I was like, yeah, same. What did you say about that?
Yeah, me too.
Yeah, everyone.
Everyone join in.
Yeah, really, really, really love that answer. Thank you. Okay, Lindsay, so I've really enjoyed getting to know you a bit more today, and I've just absolutely loved so many things that you've said. And so as a special treat, I have a magic wand that I sometimes bring onto the show, and I've got it ready with me today to whip you up special imaginary breakfast. It's not breakfast where you are, but it's breakfast here.
So I can go with that.
Okay, cool. So I'll get the wand ready. Firstly, where would you like the breakfast to take place? It can be anywhere in the world.
Any old forest with a lake mountain view will do. I could come to you.
I've got just the place. You can come to me and we can go to Kaharangi National Park together, where you will get that exact vista. So maybe I should come along for the breakfast just in case. Okay, so you're coming to New Zealand with the magic wand and having breakfast by a lake with a mountain view with a forest. Nice. So what dish would you especially like to be served for breakfast?
What dish?
Yeah.
It would need to be some really yummy sourdoughy type toast with a couple of poached eggs, with some hollandaise and some mushrooms and spinach. Thank you very much.
Oh, that's lovely. Mm. Yeah, nice. We'll take two, please.
Yeah.
And a green the breakfast will be served to you by someone that has inspired you. Who is that?
Well, there's so many people. Can they be? Can they? Are they allowed to be dead?
Yes.
I'm just going to say Jesus.
Okay. Jesus. Okay.
Yeah. Do I need to qualify that in any way, or?
Well, not unless you want to. I think Jesus as your breakfast waiter is fine.
Yeah. Okay. No, I just, you know, I for me that some the kind of the original teachings of Jesus, not possibly what's happened in the Christian church, don't not also wish to upset anybody, those are have been some very guiding lights in my life. So I'm not a Christian, I'm not religious in that way, but I do love a bit of Jesus's teachings, his mystical teachings. So I would love Jesus to serve my poached eggs.
Nice. Yeah, I love that. And I also love that you've chosen Jesus, and in the way that you've just described, Because I've found a lot of really good juicy shit in the teachings of various people or whatever. I'm searching for another word for people that I don't know why. But felt like I didn't resonate with the whole ideology, let's say, of religion. So I love how you kind of gave us all the opportunity there to be inspired by the teachings of Jesus if we want, while not necessarily being a Christian. It's like, we didn't know that we could do that. Yeah. People, you can do whatever you want.
You can do whatever you want.
Okay, so joining you at breakfast is Lindsay from another year. What year is this Lindsay from, past or future, and what do you chat about?
Oh, I would definitely invite like 4-year-old Lindsay. Totally. And I just want to go, darling, hello. Look how fucking cute you are. And I just want to see what she'd like to chat about. Maybe even 3-year-old, because I think I'd quite like her. Like, no, 3 or 4, yeah. Just when they're in super cute, kind of like not in all of the human shitness going on. And just she'd be looking at, you know, I don't know, talking about fairies or I don't know what she'd be doing. But yeah, just in her amazing human cuteness for sure. Yeah.
Oh, yeah, I love that. I wonder if she would get on with your son. Like, maybe we can bring your son over.
Yeah. Oh, I think they would. Yeah.
Okay, so you've all enjoyed your sourdough toast with poached eggs, mushrooms and spinach, served by Jesus in Kaharangi National Park with a lake view in the forest and mountains, with for itself.
Now,
your breakfast dishes are going to be whisked away by a character, a book, movie or play. Who is clearing your table?
They have to be fictional, obviously, by the book, movie or play.
Well, not necessarily, no, however you hear that question.
Well, I'd quite like Queen Elizabeth I then to come and clear my table. Yeah. I don't know, I just think that would be quite fun.
Yeah.
She was probably quite a character.
Yes. Oh, I bet. Oh gosh, I'm conjuring up like a sketch scene in my mind now.
This Blackadder I've got in my mind really is probably what.
Queen Elizabeth I. Cool. Okay. So they clear away your breakfast dishes and then the bill arrives. When you open it, it's actually a check for £37,377.33. What organization, service, charity, group or person or anything do you give the money to?
I give it to a homeless charity.
Oh, is there one in mind or?
No, I don't think so. I think I would just maybe spread it between a couple of the, maybe a local one in Brighton, but then maybe something global and something national, something like that, a bit of spreading it out.
Oh, I love that. What does that mean to you? What
is I think I feel like it's, and I know I'm sort of making it up a bit, but I do sort of feel like it should be a basic human right that you have a roof over your head. If you choose not to, all power to you. But if you want to have a roof over your head, I feel like every person and child and adult and pet should have a roof over their head.
I happen to agree. And even though we talk a lot about kind of the things we make up and thought being a moving experience, I don't care. I like that one. It can keep coming back as much as it wants, because I also believe that and I'm happy to believe that. I would love to see some change. We've got homeless problems in New Zealand, but unfortunately that's not anything special and they're all over the world. So I love that. Thank you. I can't match your donation. It's a little bit out of my budget for.
Yeah, it's okay.
But if I happen to have a similar experience where I get a bill and it's a check, I will do the same and follow you. Okay. So thank you so much for that. I'm going to pack the wand away now. Hope you enjoyed breakfast. Lindsay, I just, I've really so enjoyed just hanging with you today. I'm really, really
fun
being here. And just before we go, is there just, and you don't have to say yes or no, but is there anything in closing that you want to say to someone who's listening right now, who really is maybe feeling the way that you felt in your past or how I felt in my past? What would you just like to say to them?
There is nothing wrong with you. Truly, there isn't. You won't feel like that. You'll think I'm talking about everyone else, and you will not see how that is true. But what if that is true?
Oh, that's just perfect. Thank you so much. I would love to invite people to really ponder that powerful.
Yeah.
much. Lindsay Elliott, it's been a bloody joy to have you on the Inner Peace and Other Cool Shit podcast today.
Thank you for having me, Siobhan. It's been amazing. I really enjoyed our conversation. And I loved the little surreal jump that we did there. Amazing.
Hope to see you again soon, and thank you again.
Oh, thanks so much.
Bye.
Bye.
And there you have it. Isn't Lindsay wonderful? Ah, I love her. Check out the show notes for the links to Lindsay's website and her YouTube channel, both of which are amazing. And if you want your question answered by an upcoming guest, or you have anything else on your mind, then contact me in the usual places. Thank you so much for hanging out with me and Lindsay Elliott today. See you next time. Bye. Thank you so much for listening. This is the part where I ask you to share, review, and subscribe to the show. So if you go and do that, I would absolutely love it. If you have thoughts or questions or insights about this episode or anything really, come and share them with me on Instagram at Siobhan Friel or visit me at siobhanfriel.com. See you next time.